Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by BlackRock Health, providing patients with world-class clinical care and comfort, enabling swifter recoveries.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
And you can also text 51551. We love to hear from you. Now, on May the 18th, the RTE Concert Orchestra is going to be exploring the history of soul in a concert with renowned conductor David Brophy. One of the 20th century's most evocative music styles, the night will see them feature everyone from Aretha Franklin to James Brown. And to tell us more about it, I'm joined here in our studio by David Brophy. Morning, David.
Morning, Miriam.
Let's start with a little bit of music. Let's have a verse of respect from Aretha. Voice. You just never tire of hearing that, do you agree?
It's a stunning voice and immediately draws you in. And I mean, it's hard to believe, like Aretha Franklin, she sold the most records of any African-American artist in the 1960s. Like the period we're looking at in the concert with the RTE Concert Orchestra is really focused on the 1960s. And that, of course, an Otis Redding song written in 1965. And you listen to her singing there, it's phenomenal. Like, her technique is brilliant. But also what she does, her emotion, she brings you into the song. It's quite stunning.
Tell us a little of its history. Where the music, where soul originated, and I suppose what it was influenced by.
Well, I suppose you have to look at the term soul itself. And, you know, there would have been groups back in the, as far back in the 1920s, you can look at like groups like the Soul Stirrers, who were formed in Texas in 1926. And it was that sense that, you know, the emotions that were stirred in gospel music could be brought into a kind of a non-religious setting, you know. And so you look at groups like, as I mentioned, the Soul Stirrers. But it wasn't until really like the 1940s and 50s where vocal techniques that were used in gospel music came into a more secular environment. And you kind of have like, you think of like song titles like I've Got a Savior. You could change that into I've Got a Baby. And suddenly you got like, you went from a very religious context, you into something secular, like, you know, or you say, have mercy, Lord, would turn into have mercy, baby. Yeah. And so that, you know, this notion of a love for God turned into a love for a woman or a man as well. And that, so that, like, you know, the conflagration of things that happened in religious gospel music that ended up in soul music is quite potent.
It was also really influenced, wasn't it, David, by what was happening politically in America at the time? I mean, did its popularity grow, for instance, during the civil rights movement?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the like, even just listen to that song there, Respect, you know, it, like that. That's now a kind of feminist anthem these days, you know, when you think about it. But also at the time when that was recorded, like, I think the rise of feminism, like, and particularly after that recording, the late 60s and 70s, is also the rise of civil rights movements. And you look at also recording labels such as like Atlantic and Stax were now recording songs that were written and performed by African-American performers for an African-American audience. That's a very important point, because like, I'm always struck by, you look at photographs of jazz musicians in the 1920s and 30s, and you've got a lot of African musicians or African-American musicians who are playing for largely white audiences in the 20s and 30s. And that changes in the 60s, where African-American audiences, they have enough economic wherewithal to go out and buy records. Like Aretha Franklin, she sold 4 million records. And when you think about that, that's African-American music for an African-American audience. Yeah. And I think that the rise of, you know, civil rights movement in the 1960s goes in tandem with a new affluence for that community.
Now, you're going to be exploring some of these great soul legends. We're going to listen now to another verse from Ray Charles, Georgia On My Mind.
Yeah, well, this song actually wasn't written by Ray Charles. This is written by Huggy Carmichael, but he recorded it in 1960, and this is just beautiful.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through.
You just sang his feet. What were you saying? You got this song.
Yeah, just, yeah, you've got that gospel sound in the back. You just hear it there as we just come out of that track. You know, you've there's always a chorus. There's always the congregation in the background there. And you kind of feel that, like, you know, listen to Ray Charles' voice there. He's almost like the preacher, preaching to the congregation. The congregation answering him back. You know, this notion of call and response, that's part of, like, so much religious music. You know, it's there. But his voice and the arrangements and the strings, just outstanding. Beautiful.
And how are you going to match that in this concert? Tell me what the
plan is.
Well,
I got to pay tribute to Guy Barker, who's associate artist with the RT Concert Orchestra, because this is really his programme and he's put all the arrangements together. And so, I mean, like, I've got the lovely job of just arriving in a minute beforehand and just waving my arms around and making music. We've got two fantastic vocalists, Vanessa Haynes and Tommy Blaze, people might know from Strictly Come Dancing.
Absolutely.
Star vocalist, Strictly Come Dancing. So we should have a great night.
They'll be a perfect choice for the good big numbers, though, won't they? Great voices.
Yeah, they've got great voices. And, you know, you look at songs, like, it's kind of, nowadays we're very aware of, you know, who's allowed to tell whose story, you know, like, and you look at, let's say, Was a Son for Preacher Man, that's another famous soul hit. That was actually written for Aretha Franklin, but recorded by Dusty Springfield, you know, and they come from very different parts of the world, you know. But, you know, Vanessa Haynes and Tommy Blaze are going to join us on the 18th of May in the National Concert Hall. They are very much suited to this repertoire. This is their repertoire.
And there's so many greats. How do you choose? Like, for instance, James Brown. He's, I think, known as the godfather of soul. He's featuring, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of times in the evening where we actually don't do individual numbers, where we actually have to put medleys in because there are too many numbers to put into it. So we do have a James Brown medley. And of course, James Brown, you think of James Brown, I mean, soul changed. You look at James Brown, he kind of moves into where soul becomes close to funk. And if you think of some of James Brown, his performances as well are very like... they're very rhetorical, like a preacher, like, and he's whooping and hollering, like, and he's really bringing the crowd with him, you know. So we've got a James Brown medley on the night too.
And we're going to play now a verse of Jackie Wilson's Riet Petit. Tell me about this.
Jackie Wilson, he sang in a group called the Dominoes, and he succeeded. A lot of singers who brought the style that, what, you know, his style that we associate now, Jackie Wilson, and this number is like, when you think of other Jackie Wilson hits like Higher and Higher, So Your Love Lifts Me Higher and Higher, that is another gospel, and this notion that the love for God or the Lord or Savior brings you higher and higher in religious context, that's all brought into secular context. But this piece, another great Jackie Wilson hit, is Riet Petit.
Another fabulous Jackie Wilson's Riet Petit. I was thinking, because I've interviewed you a lot, David, but, like, you know, is it very different conducting something like this, which is just amazing and fun, and say conducting Mahler?
yes and no, like, at the same time. Like, it's all music, you know. I mean, one of the, let's say you take a big Mahler symphony, it's first of all the scale. A huge orchestra, and takes a long time, you know, to Mahler takes a long time to make his point, I suppose, you know, like, which are all universal points. But one of the things in this program and working with the pleasure of working with Council is you work with vocalists and you've got words behind you, you know, like, and that's such a great thing. And, you know, it's also when, you know, we just listen to the music here, immediately the vocal line comes in. Like, when Aretha Franklin starts singing her very first note, you kind of go, ah, oh, that's just great. And that's just the power of the human voice that you kind of get in this music that sometimes you don't get in, you know, instrumental music. Even though, I mean, Mahler used singers as well and chorus as well as words in his music, you know. In many ways, it's the same but different.
And I often think of the vocal voice as well, that it's almost like a beautiful instrument when it's as magnificent. Do you think that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, like, in a weird way, instrumentalists, or like really great instrumentalists, you know, doesn't matter what they play, they try to imitate the human voice, because that's what we get with this music, is that human connection. And this music says things that, you know, words on their own just can't say.
Before I let you go and I'll give the date, do you have a favourite yourself, like soul song or singer? Is that impossible?
I think it's impossible, but I do think Respect. and Aretha Franklin, that's something in that. And I think as you listen to a household progressive 1960s, and you, it moves into, like, we tend to forget, like, the Jackson 5, when they released I Want You Back in 1969, that went into disco very quickly in the 1970s, you know. So I just kind of think of, you know, for me, music has this big long line that goes back centuries. You know, you go back to Bach all the way through to Beethoven and through the 19th centuries, and then you eventually get to African-American music influence and through jazz. So all this music is connected. We're all using the same 12 notes. And we're all saying things like, it's all about love and loss and grief and life and death and everything else. All this music about the same stuff, but we're all saying it in different ways. And I just love it.
You're blessed. I mean, you're super talented. I am blessed. You have a beautiful career.
Very, very lucky guy.
And listen, the History of Soul, conducted by you with the RT Concert Orchestra, is taking place on Thursday, May the 18th, in the National Concert Hall. And tickets as ever, nch.ie. David Brophy, thanks so much.